Are you ready, sexy bear?
Yeah, let's do this.
Now you can start.
So, like the Westboro Baptist Church,
right?
When they responded to all the Pokemon players taking over their gyms, they responded with, of course, a biblical text, like it should be, because it's them, and
it makes sense.
They're just going to use it awfully.
If we could somehow twist a biblical text to reference Pokemon Go, I mean,
right?
It's legit.
So they posted a picture of Clefairy on, like, I guess they just put it as a meme, and it says "Repent or perish," Luke 13:4-5.
Okay.
And that's what it's like. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts and his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord said, "I will destroy man who have come created from the face, both man," you know, all that crap.
Sure.
But then on their Twitter, they're like, "Everything, real or virtual, enables proud sin in America, and that's a sign of doom."
Well, I mean,
it's
let's be really fair for 1 second to that church. Okay. So isn't that like what every like group right now is talking about, is how they hate other groups right now? Like, isn't that it? Shouldn't we all just be getting along? So why should this dumbass church be any different?
What do you mean other groups?
Well, like, what, the Black Lives Matter just went and shot up a bunch of police officers in Dallas.
Right.
And you see people on their podium talking about, "We got to kill those who are killing us. We got to kill them first."
Right.
I'm like, what? Can't we all just play Pokemon Go and like
love each other?
I mean, come on now.
So we have this square in Rapid. It's downtown, and it has 4 different locations at it that, you know, spawn different things.
That sounds amazing.
And, you know, there's probably, over the course of the weekend, like every night there's like 20, 30, 40, 50 people, you know, just it keeps growing and just in that corner because everybody knows about it. This dude comes up. You know, he's drunk because we're downtown, so obviously there's a bar scene. He is just wasted. And he comes up and he starts just like belligerently yelling at us about the end of times and what are we going to do when we don't have our games and how we're not even like talking to each other. And, you know, there's like 50 of us all playing a game talking to each other. He's like, "Yeah, but you're not talking. You just have your phone and you're just doing this," and like just starts. And he just like starts going off on us, and we're just like, "Bro, chill out or leave."
Well, like, so we have a park here in town. Like, all the parks are amazing. If you haven't started playing Pokemon Go yet, first of all, download Pokemon Go. Second of all, go to the parks. There's always like every entrance and exit to a park is a spot, and then usually like any gazebos or any like shelter areas tend to be Pokemon Go spots as well, stops. And so like yesterday we went to a park here in town. We were just driving by on the way home. We were thinking about getting some ice cream after dinner, and because we're on our diets, as you can tell. And we thought about getting some ice cream and then heading to another park kind of near, closer to our house, where we know that there's like 2 spots a little ways away, but we could probably get away with like parking in the middle or whatever. And there's a gym there that's currently by our team, or was earlier today when we drove through it. And we're like, well, we could just chill there, eat our ice cream, you know, screw around for half an hour and then go home. Instead, we drove down the street and we found this park. And in this park, there's a little lake and there's like 5 stops, like all together, relatively close. And a couple of the kids were sitting in there upgrading the stops and just catching Pokemon. So we're like, well, shit, let's just go there. So we stopped in that park. And for like a little more than 45 minutes, probably, we just hung out in that park, talked with people. I bet you there was 30 some people, 40 some people there. And like, I ran into some people I know. I talked to some people I didn't know. Like, one guy came up to us and he's like, "Hey man, did you catch anything cool in the park?" Or just in general, like, started a conversation with us out of the blue. And we weren't the only ones. Like, we talked to probably 7 or 8 different people that we never would have talked to before because we had this shared interest of a video game. And I know another friend of mine, Lessa, who I do Cocktail Hour with, the DDO Cocktail Hour, I told her about Pokemon Go in the last live stream that we did on Friday. And since then, she's been posting on Facebook how she's gone out for walks every night for the last, since I told her about it. And she's been having conversation with people she's never met before. And she's got a little bit of like social anxiety. For a person who talks on a podcast, like, not necessarily weekly, but she does live streams weekly. She does several podcasts. Like, she's got a weird, like, on the internet, she's fine. But face to face, she gets a little nervous or whatever.
Right. And
it's like, this Pokemon Go has given her excuse to get out, talk to people, you know, basically do some stuff, and it's sweet. Like, there's a lot of people that have this going on right now. And then you have like different times of day things are triggering, different locations different Pokemon are spawning. Like, this, they hit something on the head really hard. And like, I would love to see Wizards of the Coast do something along this same model, or with Dungeons and Dragons, or Magic the Gathering. Like, it would be great. Like, you're walking down the street and like, boom, you get attacked by a monster, and then you have to use like your deck that you've composited to defeat the monster, and then maybe you get a new card or something. Like, this augmented reality, the way it's working in Pokemon Go, obviously it's not perfect, but it has so much raw potential.
Right.
Anyway, we don't want to talk about Pokemon Go the whole time, or Westboro Baptist Church, or whatever in the hell they're called this week.
Definitely don't.
We are a podcast around Magic the Gathering. This is Two Trolls and a Brew. I'm Samus. He's Travis. This week's title, I Too Am a Cheater.
Yes.
Subtitle, Pokemans. So I think there's going to be a story here, but first of all, I want to put out an apology. I got really swamped last week. And last week's episode came out a day late, like 12 hours late or whatever. I apologize for that. Hopefully you guys will get a chance to go download it. It was a good episode, I think. And I don't know. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Again, I apologize for being late. We had a death in the family. And, of course, my birthday and the holiday. And we had to travel out of town to drop my son off at a friend's house for a couple of weeks. And just all this stuff piled up. And basically, something dropped, something fell through the cracks, including my house payment that I didn't make until today, because they're like calling me like, "Are you going to make your house payment?" I'm like, yes. I didn't forget to make a house payment. It's reasons.
Yeah. I promise I'm not trying to evade everything.
I'm terribly sorry. All right. So, Travis, I want to hear this story about how you also are a cheater.
All right, so I started my second job, and
right, how's that going? I heard that it's a little bit challenging for you.
Well, that's just because, you know, addictions. But the job itself is pretty easy. It's just resisting the urge to buy alcohol is what's difficult.
I'm proud that you're continuing to keep it up, even though you are surrounded by temptation.
Right. So one of the other dudes, he's from California. He really didn't have anything when he came here, and he still doesn't really have much because he just works all the time, so he doesn't get much time to play. He wanted to play this weekend because he had the weekend off. And he was like, "I need a deck." I was like, "All right, well, I mean, I have a goblin deck you can use." He's like, "All right, yeah, I can do that." And, I mean, it was a goblin deck, so if he ran off with it, I wasn't going to, like, throw much of a hissy fit because $80 or whatever. But I had a card in there that I didn't realize wasn't in Modern. It was just purely a lack of judgment, because I saw it in one of the dual decks, and I thought that it was reprinted in one of the modern sets, but it wasn't, and that was a Goblin War Chief.
Yeah, Goblin War Chief's not legal.
Yeah, so I didn't realize that. They found it, or they realized it in round two, so he's just like, the judge was just, oh, okay, well, you know, honest mistake, we didn't know, so just go ahead and take it out, put it in the sideboard, bring something else in. And, you know, then he just continued with the rest of the game, because, I mean, there's really not much he could have done. Like, right. he gave him the game loss for the first game in round two. But the person he lost to was in round one. But then even after, you know, he took out the playset of the War Chief, even with the sideboard, or them being, you know, in the sideboard, but, you know, not really there. So it was essentially 11-card sideboard.
Right.
Even with that, he went 3-0 with it, you know, without me cheating.
Right.
So technically I'm a cheater without even being there.
Yeah, it's really aggravating, because I think Goblin War Chief was a promo card, an FNM promo card, this, like, in the last month or two even. So.
Yep.
And
I had the playset of that in there.
What they've tended to do on those kind of things is they've been reprinting whatever format cards that they think is going to start getting some play.
Yeah.
So I had because like they did Path to Exile and Serum Visions?
Yeah.
Like back to back or whatever. And people are all like, oh, they're going to get reprinted in the new set. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. But they weren't. They were just cards that didn't get printed in Modern Masters.
Right.
So it makes me think that these are cards that they thought people would want, but they didn't put in the Eternal Masters. I don't know if they're in there or not. I haven't done anything with the Eternal Masters, but it is kind of aggravating to me that they make the Friday night promos things
unplayable.
I mean, they're playable. They're just in our area, or where I'm from, and I assume it's similar for you, like Legacy and Vintage are not like popular formats for us.
Vintage isn't. Legacy is it's so-so. It's okay. Hit or miss.
Like our problem is that the current crowd that we have playing Magic don't have a lot of disposable income. So they want to do Vintage, or they would like to do Vintage, but they have to do it with proxies. Well, Wizards of the Coast has really put a hibosh on proxies in the last year or so, including shutting down a store or two in Washington because of them running proxies. So it's like, you know, you really can't do that. And it's really difficult to have a tournament when most of the people are like 20-something kids, either on their own or going to college and working part-time and playing Magic to like afford Legacy cards.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a challenge, and I understand it, but it's like, well, what can you afford? Well, I got these sweet Friday Night Magic goblins, so I guess I have to run goblins because it's the only thing I can afford to play. And it's like, well, okay, that's kind of fun, but not really. So I would prefer it if they would stick to at least modern and standard cards.
Right.
Like Friday night Magic promos and stuff, but whatever. I'm not in charge of Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I view it. Like, I mean, if you print something, at least make it playable for the majority.
Right. It should even hit like 50% of players.
Right.
And I don't think that those Legacy and Vintage in particular, I don't think they're necessarily, they have those hive numbers.
Right. I don't think they're really playables, because I don't really think that Vintage and Legacy are going to hit the majority of people. Because, again, unless they're going to, you know, non-FNM tournaments, it's hardly ever Legacy.
Right.
Like, I'd say 1 out of 10.
Well, and I would love to do more Legacy tournaments, but people just don't have the cards. Like,
I would love to do that too, but
easier to do a Commander tournament where people pick up like a one of, or, you know, singletons here or there or whatever, than it is right. to try to get someone to be able to put together a four of deck in Legacy. There might be the same amount of value or whatever, you know, what by the time you like, yeah, I have one of each dual land or something and like one of each fetch land, but then putting together four of land bases and four of fetch lands, those things get a lot harder to do when you're kind of picking things up here and there. So, I mean, I get it. It'd be nice. So, I don't know. That doesn't sound like that big of a deal to me. So what the judge should have did was gave out the game loss, replace that card with a land, and then remove that card from the deck and change the sideboard number. Not that it mattered. This what he did was also fine, really. But, you know, it's the difference between a Friday Night Magic, which is level zero, versus, like, a GP Trial, which is a level one. So
right. And that's why he, like, why he did it, too. Because you're just like, I mean, it's an honest mistake. You didn't know the deck. Like how he explained it to me was, you know, the dude didn't know the deck. When you gave it to him, you clearly didn't realize that that card wasn't in Modern. So, I mean, really, it was honest mistakes on both parts. So I'm not going to, you know, make people suffer too much for it. I mean, you know, just go down and sideboard.
Right. Well, I mean, like, that's not one of the things you can kick somebody out of a Friday Night Magic for anyway.
Right.
Really, the only thing that can get you kicked out of a Friday Night Magic is collusion and like physically harming another Magic player. That's basically all that can get you kicked out of a Friday Night Magic.
Reminds me of that time you stopped someone from getting choked out. Disappointing. Or no, that was Jeremy that did it.
I didn't stop. I was doing the choking. But that was also not a Magic tournament. That was us just hanging out afterwards. But yeah, I don't know. It's a fine line. So shall we get to troll cards of the week?
C.
Okay, I'm assuming you mean the Spanish C.
That means we in French.
It means what in French?
We.
Like I already took a wee before we started the show.
Yeah, me too. But you know, I'm drinking more water, so
exactly. So troll card of the week this week. Mine is going to be borrowed. Say it for me, Travis. My brain.
Malevolence.
Malevolence. Like Maleficent.
Yeah, like Maleficent. Except different.
Except totally different. All new letters and everything. Borrowed Matt. One more time.
Malevolence.
Malevolence?
Yes.
Okay, I won't be able to say it right.
I know.
So this card for a black is an instant. Escalate two colorless. Choose one or both. And, of course, you have to pay the extra two mana if you're going to use both. Target creature gets +1/+1 till end of turn. Target creature gets -1/-1 till end of turn. I love these kind of spells that that can kill like a little creature or kill a big creature.
Right.
Like they're highly flexible cards. I'm a big fan of. I feel like I have to turn around and get it. The -1/-1 with the. The dredge on it, you know which one I'm talking about off the top of your head. I've got it in a pile back here somewhere.
Any dredge? Dark blast.
Yeah, actually, it's upstairs on the dining room table. But yeah, dark blast. Like I'm a big fan of that because it kills one ones, or you can cast it before your draw step. Dredge two during your draw step and cast it again. This I think is going to be not quite as good, but it's going to be very high up there. Picking off a Delver before it flips could be really great. Essentially having a 2-point power swing for certain things. So like a 3-3 can take down a 5-5 if it needs to.
Right.
Or a 2-2 can take down a 4-4, which is probably slightly more likely right now with like Thought Not Seer. So yeah, I think this has got a lot of potential. Like my creature becomes a 3-3 and your thing becomes a 3-3 and now we trade and I draw my card and like, you can get a lot of value out of that. I think this is going to be one of those cards that people are going to overlook and not see how good this thing really can be. I don't know. What do you think, Travis? Is this
I think I'm going to put
two trolls up.
I think I'm going to put at least three of them in the sideboard in mono black control.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a solid move for that card.
Well, that and like it combos really well with Liliana, right? Like creature gets -2/-1, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
Like -3/-2 could be really huge.
Right.
I hate using two card combos to do something like kill a creature, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. What's your troll card? You also picked from the new set, right?
Yeah. I picked Imprisoned in the Moon.
You and everybody else on the planet.
Yeah, but I just saw it, and I mean, with Pokemon Go, I haven't been paying attention to Magic this whole weekend. Right. So, like, this card, like, you know, as I was scrolling through the Salvation, I just saw it. I'm like, oh, God, this is beautiful. It's just kind of like...
Oh, it's Imprisoned in the Moon.
Yeah.
Oh, no, your spelling's right. Okay. I just went to find it, and it didn't find, so...
Oh. But no, I think it's great. I mean, you either shut down a land base, you destroy a creature that isn't worth anything. It's just hitting you in the...
Blue and two for an enchantment aura. Enchanted creature, land, or planeswalker. Enchanted permanent is now a colorless land with tap. Add a colorless to your mana pool. Loses all other card types and abilities. So now you can continue your...
Well, I mean, you know, if they have like a huge threat and you have no way to get rid of it, like Ulamog.
Right.
It's like, hey, cool, you know, your Ulamog's indestructible. But also now it's a land and it only produces colorless.
Right.
You know, so speaking of...
What happens if you, like, imprison the moon on a creature and then you use that the spell that, like, destroys a land and then you go exile any other copy from their deck? What is that called, Carl? It's colorless, red.
Crumble in the dust?
Yeah.
Or crumble to dust. Huh. Well, I mean, it's not a basic land. So would that make it a non-basic?
I don't know.
All right, Wizards. Quit trying to make us think.
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to find it right now. Crumble to dust. Exile target non-basic land, because it didn't get a basic land type.
Right.
Right? So, it's a non-basic land. Let's see. Searches controller graveyard hand library for any number of cards with the same name as that land and exile them. So, is that land still got the same name? I think so, right? It just becomes a land with... It still has the same name. It didn't give it a new name. Yeah, I think it's going to work that way. I think you could use it to exile everything. Like, now, sure, that's a crazy two-card combo.
Right.
But, I mean...
7 mana, remove all your threats.
Yeah.
Okay. GG, I guess.
Yeah, especially if you run something that, like, can regrow the aura and the spell.
Yeah. Well, I think this is especially good in, you know, against the three color decks. You know, the ones that have like, you know, Esper, Bant, Naya, Jund. You know, if you just put this on, I don't know, like a Cinderglade, you know, that's gonna give you time to stabilize.
It could.
Or put you in control. I mean, you're a blue, if you're playing this, you're a blue player, so it's gonna give you time to control.
Well, I think that the main thing to keep in mind is, like, for a blue player, the way that you most likely deal with these kind of threats, if you can't counter them, is to bounce them, right? And bouncing something is usually not
an
effective. I know you got a kid in the background.
Yeah.
I'll mute Travis.
Not work until 5.
Nope, I didn't get him muted in time. Now he's back. Anyway, So anyway, what I was saying was, as a blue player, the typical way to deal with something once it's already down is just bounce it back to your hand. You don't really have a way to exile it or a way to kill it. So this gives you that option to like stop it without having to dip into another color.
Right. This is like pseudo control.
Yeah. I mean,
pseudo removal.
And you can always, you know, pick it back up with a boomerang effect or whatever and cast it again on something else if something else comes down that you couldn't deal with.
Right.
I think it's good. And the other thing that you can keep in mind is, like, if you really have to get the 4 mana for some reason, like, you can cast it on your own token or whatever. Like, it can make a mana for you in a really super roundabout way.
Right.
If you really have to have it. Or say, like, you're playing a blue colorless Eldrazi deck and you have to get a second colorless for Ulamog, but you're just flooding out on colored sources. Or not Ulamog.
Kozilek.
You just have to get a second colorless mana down. Or, like, Reality Smasher or one of those guys that requires a colorless mana.
Right.
This can fix that for you. So I think this has got a lot of interesting potential. But the fact that it only hits a creature land or planeswalker, I think it's good and bad. Like, it'd be nice if it also hit enchantments, I think.
Hold on a minute.
All right, well, I'm gonna mute you this time, I think. Maybe.
Lunchable? All right.
Mute. I did it, but it was after you already basically told him he could have a Lunchable.
Yeah.
That's delicious.
I guess, you know, I do have the ability to mute on my own screen.
That would be
awesome. I just kind of remembered that.
I mean, just like one time. But
yeah.
People love these interruptions.
Right. No, they're the best.
They are.
Anyways, I mean, I understand why they only did it with those three, because those are the three most challenging things for blue to get rid of once they hit. And most of the time, enchantments don't really affect anything. I mean, they do, but that's a lot of times it's just kind of like, eh.
Well, like, powerful enchantments are problems. So, like, this would be a good answer for Blood Moon and Modern for blue decks. This could be, if it hit enchantments. It would be great for like Worship, in the Troll Worship deck.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking about blue decks and Modern, so they probably could just bounce it and tap all your creatures with the Cryptic Command and not worry about it. Like, maybe
right. That's
powerful enough for there anyway. But it's something, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's going to see a ton of play. It's going to be an expensive card. Basically overnight, whether or not it's one of those cards that everyone loves and then it's not as good as they think and then they let it go back down, I don't know, but I have the feeling it's going to be amazing. Speaking of, I've got a list of cards here that I want to talk about, but I think we want to talk about that later. Right now I want to talk about Emerge as a mechanic, and I think we have to start this off by saying that Travis had no idea what I was talking about.
That is 100% true.
So Emerge has an alternate casting cost. Most of the Emerge cards I've seen so far have been on colorless Eldrazi. I think that's probably going to hold true. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't looked at the whole spoiler like Travis. I've kind of been obsessed with Pokemon Go since it's come out. So anyway, what it seems to do is it has a colored mana cost and then a reduced cost. For example, the Abundant Maw, which normally costs 8 generic mana, has an Emerge black and 6. The other nice thing about this is you can sacrifice a creature and pay the Emerge cost reduced by the creature's converted mana cost. So, like, if you make a token and you sacrifice it, you're still going to pay the full 7 mana. But, like, say you make a Thought Knot Seer, you could sacrifice the Thought Knot Seer and get the Emerge. Or, I don't know, some other creature that can come back, like a, what's the the black relentless dead? Is that it?
Yeah.
Like you sacrifice relentless dead. Now you're paying
five colorless.
Five generic.
Yeah.
Not colorless, generic.
Yeah.
And then of course that also sets off the other thing. Or like somebody pacifies a creature or something, you can get some, you know, reduce the spell. I think this has got an awful lot of potential to be good. I think a lot of these are very costly though.
Right.
And I'm not sure how much we really love it. There's a couple of standouts.
Well, and even
blue.
Like even looking at these, so the main casting cost and the emerge cost, it appears it's just offset by one plus whatever you sacrifice. So like Mockery of Nature, it costs 9, but the emerge is 7 and a green. So the emerge is 8 minus whatever you cast or whatever you sacrifice.
And what is what's its creature type?
Well, it's an Eldrazi beast.
See, and I think I'm not sure, but I think this is the Eldrazi like taking over the animal life on the planet.
Yeah.
Kind of bursting out of it. So yeah, let's just hit this one real quick. Wretched Griff. Normally 7 mana for a 3/4, emerge blue and 5. When you cast Wretched Griff, draw a card. And it's got flying.
Yeah.
Well, that card seems okay to me.
All of the Eldrazi have cast triggers.
Correct.
So, I mean, no matter what happens, you're getting it.
Right. Elder Deep Fiend, which is the octopus.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, no, it's non-horrors, right? I don't know, I was going to say it's important because it could come back, but I guess not. Flash, emerge 5 and 2 blue. Tap up to 4 target permanents.
Yeah.
Like that.
And it's a 5/6.
Yeah, it sounds bonkers. Vexing Scuttler, which is the crab. Same thing, emerge 6 and a blue. You may return target instant or sorcery card from your graveyard to your hand. Again, seems great. So, yeah, I don't know. A lot of these look really good to me. I don't see any white ones. So, like, no Pegasi being taken.
Right, but
Eldrazi.
The majority of the time, you know, whites always stood resilient against Eldrazi.
I mean, they try, but then you occasionally get, like, we have at least one white Eldrazi.
Yeah, that's why I said majority of the time.
I know, but I don't know why we couldn't have had one white
Eldrazi. One emerge.
Yeah, one white emerge card.
Yeah.
I also don't see any red.
That's because how many red things are big enough to make emerge worth anything?
Well, I mean, we were talking about leeches and boars and insects here, Travis. Like, I think you could do mountain goat. Can you do goat?
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine how sick that goat would be? Like tentacles for horns and all sorts of goodies. It'd be sick. I don't know. As a mechanic, I'm not sure that I love it as much as like what was the sacrifice mechanic in Khan's block? You remember the name of that?
Nope.
Okay, good answer. Man.
Wow.
Guards. What's I can't think of it either. I don't know. I'll look for it in a second and then I'll like yell it out in the middle of nowhere.
Awesome. That was amazing.
Right?
You
did it that way. But basically, I think I prefer that sacrifice effect. On the flip side, you know, this is a cast trigger, basically. And you get it regardless. So you don't have to sacrifice a creature to get the same cast trigger. You're getting a slight discount, which could be really huge.
It's called exploit.
Exploit, thank you.
I was like, I know I have one right here.
Okay, good. I'm like trying to remember how to. I'm like, Sidisi's one, Silumgar Sorcerer's one. Like, I'm trying to remember how to type words, and it just didn't happen. I don't know. As a mechanic, I don't think it's that special. You're not going to get that big of a discount usually. And like, what are you going to, unless there's a bunch of really good Leaves Play triggers, which I can't really think of anything. There's no real point, right? Unless you're right. Running the sacrifice creatures from blue from dragons, like the one who says when he dies, draw two cards. Like, that guy's good. But are you really going to build a deck around that guy and Wretched Griff to draw another card? Oh, I drew three cards and I paid, what, that guy's a blue and three, I think. Oh, and I paid two extra mana for my 3/4 with flying. And I drew three cards over. No. I just think most of the time these things are going to turn into, like the ones with flash are going to be good because, oh, you're going to kill my guy instead. Well, we'll just say, you know, fine.
Right.
In response, I'm going to tap for your things, or, hey, I'm going to play this huge 5/7. Ha ha ha. You killed my guy for nothing. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I want a thing, Travis.
What thing?
So our Friday
night at
the arena, has, is a thing where we get these little statues that we give away if the Friday Night Magic is greater than 16 people.
Yep.
And so this week we had 16 people playing Modern, and I won. I'm a Friday Night Magic champion in Modern. Do you believe it?
I told you.
You told me the Eldrazi and taxes. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Just a little 4-round tournament. I got this sweet gold Gideon. And, Eldrazi Taxes did some work. I still don't like the sideboard. The sideboard still needs a lot. I'm not sure exactly where I want to go. People are still trying to tell me that, what's the enchantment for white and a colorless that shuts down artifacts, activated abilities? Do you remember?
Stony Silence?
Yeah, Stony Silence. People are trying to tell me that Stony Silence needs to be in my sideboard, even though I am a Aether Vial deck.
Yeah.
So I'm not running it right now. Also, since my metagame is heavy with burn, I'm
right.
Four timely reinforcements in the sideboard. Sideboard them in. Huh?
It's a beautiful card.
It is, but I'm not running it because, well, I am running it. I didn't play against a burn deck, so I'm not sure how good it is. But I sideboarded in against black-white tokens,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't win that game. Like, I cast two of them, and I still just got beaten down. So, I don't know. Also, I switched Engineer Explosives to Ratchet Bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Would seem to be good. So maybe I'll get more Ratchet Bombs. But I cannot find the bridge. Man, I cannot think of these cards' names today.
Ensnaring Bridge.
Yeah, I can't find my Ensnaring Bridges. I wanted to try them. I thought maybe they'd be quite good. But honestly, most games that I won involved putting down a Reality Smasher like on turn 3 and just killing people.
Right.
Or playing, you know, really trickily, and using the land destruction. One person, I cast at least two Path to Exiles and used at least two Ghost Quarters with Leon Arbiter on the field, and successfully kept them from. I got rid of all their lands, basically.
Okay.
This person was playing elves, so they really didn't care that much, but it still worked out in my favor for the most part. Let's see. Then we also had a situation where, let me think. I played another individual who said they didn't want to get Talia'd. So I Talia'd them, turn two. And they, like, fetched to be able to play a Lightning Bolt and kill her. I'm like, all right, cool. And I played my third land and played the Leon Arbiter. And they went to kill at end of turn. And I got rid of their dual land. And then I played another one. And then I got rid of both of their lands. And, yeah, so that game got won pretty easily. So, yeah, overall, I'm really liking the deck. I said sideboard still has some issues. I'm not real sure what I want to do with Affinity besides just always have the Eldrazi Displacer. But I don't know. It's a lot of fun, though. It's definitely up my alley for the most
right.
part. I guess I need to find some better guides and see if I can read up some more on it. Or maybe see, because it's not superly played yet. So maybe if I can get lucky and find a couple of articles, I can make some moves with it before it gets better. I don't know.
Yeah.
I still want to build the Blink deck. And we'll see how that works out. I picked up, I'm already planning on making a few changes, I think, and running some number of Honored Hierarchs instead of Birds of Paradises. I may or may not be wrong. I'm not sure.
Right.
But my idea that, you know, having a mana dork that can also give a creature, because basically you attack with like one creature at a time, like one Siege Rhino or one Angel, you know, given Exalted should be good. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Let's see what else happened this week. Joe built our version of green, black, or green, blue mill that we talked about a little bit last week. I got a chance to play with him against the flyer deck that I put together that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, using the spirits and the different flying lord and the spirit stuff and whatnot. And I did lose a game out of, I don't know, the five or six or seven that we played. I kept a one land hand on the mulligan with the scry and on the draw, and I didn't see a second land until like turn four or five.
Nice.
And, it was still very close. Like, he's just like, you're at 13, Triskaidekaphobia. Or no, that was a different game. So I lost the game there. No, I never lost a game to the mill deck. So I don't know, maybe his version's not good, or maybe we're just wrong. And it's not a good deck in general. I don't know. He didn't run like the Jace's Ingenuity or anything like that, which I think would have made a difference. I don't know. Shall we get into more Eldritch Moon spoilers?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's like basically what we have for show notes.
Yeah, pretty much.
So,
yeah, and Pokemon.
Is it Sigarda's Aid? Am I saying that right?
Sure.
I think this is going to be an interesting one for me to build around. You may cast aura and equipment spells as if they had flash. Whenever an equipment enters the battlefield under your control, you may attach it to creature you control. So, for me, one of the reasons that equipment's not necessarily get as much play as some other things is because it basically usually costs like double the mana.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this situation, the fact that it costs just the play ability, like since this includes a free equip, basically, that's just insane.
Right. Well, I mean, the better cards don't really have anything.
Well, I mean,
like any downside to it.
Like if we just look for equipment in standard. And now we're going to see how well I can spell like any words.
EQU.
EQU, my friend. So let's see. You have Bonesaw, obviously, which has no cost anyway. Brawler's Plate, +2/+2 and Trample. Captain's Claws. Creature gets +1/+0.
Cather's Claws.
Captain's Claws.
Cather's?
Captains?
Captain?
Like Captain, my Captain?
Like Cather, my Cather?
Yes, exactly. You get to make some 1-1s. Let's see. Chitinous Cloak. +2/+2 in Menace.
Wow. Hold on.
Murder Axe is a new card. +2/+2. Equip discarded card. Let's see. What else is actually good here? Sigil of Valor is still legal, which is one of my favorite cards right now. Slayer's Plate, +4/+2, and when it dies, you get a, if it was a human, you get a 1/1 flyer. Stoneforge Masterwork, equipped creature gets +1/+1 for each other creature you control that shares a type with it. Like, some of these things are quite good. Sword of the Amethyst, equipped creature gets +1/+1 when it attacks, you get a look for a light or search your library for a basic land put into play. So like there are a couple really powerful equipments that nobody's really playing with. I don't know. I think there's some exciting things in here that could be good. In particular, like the Captain's Claws and the Stoneforge Masterwork in like the human deck. You know, like here's my 5 humans I play in the first 3 turns of combat. Oh, by the way, this one human's now like a 12/12 attack.
Right.
After blocks have been declared. Like, oh, you're gonna block like that? All right, well, the guy who doesn't get blocked now is basically +5/+5. Like that seems really good to me for one color, one generic mana.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. It may be too gimmicky, but yeah, I don't know. It seems okay.
It may be gimmicky, but I guess that's the reason why we have.
Well, those brewery. Are the cards that we look at, right? Like cards that people are probably going to ignore a little bit. A card that people have already been talking about, Thalia, the new Thalia, Herrick Cathar. She's a white and 2 for a legendary creature, human soldier, 3/2 with first strike, because Thalias have first strike. Creatures and non-basic lands your opponent control enter the battlefield tapped. These enter the battlefield tapped things have a tendency to be strong, but I don't know. The fact that she's 3 mana for a 3/2 seems iffy to me. What do you think, Travis?
I think in the even mono white humans now that she would be really good. But
I don't know if there's going to be a mono white humans anymore. I think the humans deck is going to definitely switch to collected company humans for the remainder of the season, and I think a card like Thalia is part of the reason why. I also think that the Counterspell Spirit is another reason.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like, the ability to collected company, potentially hit the Spell Queller, and,
right.
You know, stop them, plus have your own thing, seems real good. But yeah, I don't know. This one... Again, if decks are coming down to racing and whoever has the most blockers is going to win, it seems okay. Just kind of looking here, it looks like the current average price for her is $8, down from $15 when she was first spoiled.
Okay.
So I have a feeling people are coming to the same mindset that I am, like, she seems good, but then there's a lot of things that kill a 3/2 outside of combat right now. I don't know. I just... 6 of 1, half a dozen of another. Would you give this thing 2 trolls up?
Not yet.
Okay.
Like, it's just a card that, you know, I'm going to have to see before I can judge it.
like maybe this thing, is this thing a sideboard card?
I think it would be better inside simply because you don't even know what you're going to be going against. If they don't do anything relevant, then what's the point of playing it?
Well, like right now, the majority of the field is some variation of the humans deck, right?
I guess.
So they don't have
smart people aren't playing it.
So they don't have haste anyway. So, and they're not blocking with those creatures, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
So really it comes down to the fact that it's a 3-2 first striker. I don't know. I think she's going to be good, but I don't think she's going to be the bee's knees like everyone seems to be trying to make her out to be. A card that nobody seems to be talking about that I think is going to be huge. Liliana's Leet.
I can't even see that.
Can't see it?
Yeah, my whole computer right now is just screwing up when it comes to browsing. I don't know.
All right, well, there's a link in the show notes.
Yeah, well, let me click on it.
Try clicking on it. Basically, for a black and a 2, it's a 1/1 zombie. However, it gets +1/+1 for each other creature card in your graveyard. So, you know, some things get traded off. You've got 3 or 4 creatures in your graveyard. It's a 4/4 or 5/5 for 3 mana. Like, this thing seems insane to me.
This is like a good Tarmogoyf late game.
Oh yeah, because it could come down huge.
Yeah.
Like you lose, like say it's really late and you get 5 or 6 creatures in the graveyard. Like it's a 6/6 or a 7/7. Like it's easily the biggest thing on the field.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any way to like protect itself.
You could even, you know, get it out there early because I mean green and black have, you know, self mill cards still.
There are a few. But I also think this thing could be a monster in modern. Like, so one of the decks that I've been tinkering around with for a long time is like the green-black zombie deck.
Yeah.
Taking advantage of what's the black enchantment where you discard a card and you get a 2/2 zombie? Can you think of the name of it off the top of your head? I know it's over here.
Zombie infestation.
Yeah, zombie infestation. Like you use zombie infestation and you use like squee and a couple other things that come back to your hand for free essentially or into play. And you can also use like I think it's Lilith Troll does basically the same thing.
Yeah,
Lilith Troll. So these things like work together to make like an unstoppable monster. Like this thing could easily, like Gurmite Angler is the big fatty in modern right now, right?
Yep. Like
this thing could easily outfat a Gurmog Angler. It instantly comes down most of the time bigger than a lightning bolt. It can be Path of Exile. Okay. Well, that's the biggest problem with this guy.
Yeah, but I mean, what can't be pathed except for hexproof?
Right. So you have to be able to protect it or self-sacrifice in response. And then in standard with Liliana, our last hope or whatever her name is, like if something happens and it gets destroyed, you can bring it back. And it's a zombie, which has a lot of other real perks going for it right now. The zombie lord that, which may or may not actually be good enough, but you have all those different zombie spells going on right now. It's like zombies are very good in standard. I think, I don't know what to see. I think this guy's going to be huge. Double meeting. Pun intended. There we go. That's what I was looking for. we have a couple other cards here that we wanted to talk about. Succumb to Temptation. Blackback and a colorless for an instant. You draw 2 cards and you lose 2 life. Travis really liked this card. You want to explain to the people why you like this card so much?
Well, I mean, if you're already playing, you know, a black heavy deck, you really don't have many draw options other than on your turn. So I think this is really great because it's on instant speed. essentially it's an instant speed read the bones without the scry.
Right, you're giving up the scry to
draw on their turn.
To draw at the end of their turn. Plus, I mean, you're playing a black instead of a colorless, but whatever.
Yeah.
So my argument was it's a less versatile and more expensive. Oh, geez, I had the name. Something the blood.
Sign and blood.
Sign and blood. Thank you. It's a less versatile, more expensive sign and blood. So you can't use this to kill them if they're at two life.
Right.
But again, you're getting the flexibility of it being an instant. It's probably okay. Like, it'll probably see some play. I don't think it'll see play till after Read the Bones leaves. Really, because it seems like all the black spells currently are sorceries, although we are getting murder.
Yeah.
So with the addition of murder, maybe keeping up murder or succumb to temptation will be good enough. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we wanted to mention it just so if it does become hot, we can point to us and say, see, we know what we're talking about. Another card that I really dug was this Thraven Standard Bearer. It's a one mana for a human soldier, a 1/1. Pay a white and two and tap it, discard a card, put a 1/1 white human soldier token into the battlefield. So this is an awful lot like Call the Bloodline, except it can attack and block. And it's white, which white doesn't normally have a lot of madness enablers. It usually doesn't have a lot of madness cards.
No, but I love this card.
But it teams so well with red. Like, white-red is very strong. And there's a lot of good red madness cards right now.
Yeah, there's a ton. And, I mean, like when I first saw this card, it's like, okay, so trigger madness, gain three, and get a thing.
Well, that's a different one.
What are you talking about? I wasn't really paying attention. I was reading.
I'm talking about the Standard Bear. It makes a 1/1. So there's another one that Travis is talking about in white. There's a second white madness card. I think it says gain three life.
What's the thing you're talking about?
The thing I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's right here.
Hold on.
There. It's right there. What Travis is talking about is an enchantment. I think it costs a single white. I think we talked about it a little bit last night. Nope, there it is. Peace of Mind. Travis is talking about a one mana, or one white, one colorless, or generic, excuse me. Pay a white, discard a card, you gain three life. That's what Travis is talking about. This Thraven Standard Bearer is a creature that makes 1/1s. See what I'm talking about?
I will as soon as my computer stops being an idiot.
Pain. Okay. Anyway,
I found it.
Good. I like one of the cards that I really like in this environment is that Call the Bloodline, and the ability for this to be in white, which I think is a superior color right now. Unless you're playing like all in mono black or something, I think white is just very, very strong right now. I think it gives you some nice options.
Right. No, it definitely does. Now that I see it, I remember seeing it before. But again, I wasn't paying attention when he started talking.
Right. Why would anybody?
Yeah, well, I was reading, and so that was your fault.
Yeah, I know. I'm the worst. But, like, you have all sorts of, like, crazy five power attackers in red with madness.
Yeah.
For cheap. You've got like the red fireball, which we really love from the last set. It's not nearly as many as I thought there was in this new set. It looks like we have this Stormkirk Occultist. Have you seen this thing? It's a vampire for a red and two, vampire horror, 3/2 with trample. It has a madness of a red and a colorless. Whenever Stormkirk Occultist, I swear to God, it looks like Strong. Maybe it's Stromkirk. I don't know.
Is the R before the O? My computer's still not loading anything.
Stromkirk. I don't know. It's Stromkirk. Whatever. I don't care. That's what I'm going to call it. I'm going to call it Captain Kirk from now on. And people don't like it. They're wrong. They can find my balls. Anyway, deals combat damage to a player. Exile the top card of your library. Till end of turn, you may play that card. So I think, I mean, it's a card draw engine, madness, trample. Like, this is everything that you want in a card. Combine that with white for all these other sweet madness enablers and getting things done. Like, it just seems very, very good to me. So a 2/2 is three generic mana. Did you know that, Travis?
The what?
A
2/2 with three generic mana.
Yes, a generic 2/2 guy costs three mana.
Yeah.
So red has this history of printing cards that are on figures.
We like to call them crap bears.
Crap bears. And then printing like the thing that makes the creature good for like really cheap. So for example, we had a prophet in the last set that was a red and three that gave haste, and you could tap it, discard a card, and draw a card. So I just scrolling through here, I just noticed Prophetic Ravings cost a single red. Enchanted creature has haste and tap, discard a card, draw a card. So that 2/2 profit is literally three mana for a 2/2.
Yeah.
I just love it. It's much better than the last one I could think of where you're paying for like three mana for a like an 0/1, I think. Because they printed an equipment that was like +3/+2 or something.
Yeah.
For like the exact same creature. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, let's see. We picked out a couple other ones. Heblaglast Herald. The reason I kind of caught my attention, I'm sure I'm saying it wrong. The reason it caught my attention because it's another flying flash spirit creature.
Where is it at? What color?
It's blue. I'm for a blue, and I see you got your phone out.
So much faster than my computer right now. That's really irritating.
Blue for a flash spirit that's a 2/1 flyer. And when it or another spirit enters the battlefield under your control, tap target creature and opponent controls. I bring it up because the blue white flyers deck that we talked about a couple of weeks ago and I finally put together, I feel is already super strong.
Right.
It's going to make it
even going to push it over.
Yeah. I mean that and the counterspell guy, is also huge. The spell queller, like it's also a spirit with flash and flying. Like even if you don't get any value other than the fact that you're playing it at the end of their turn and attacking them with a 2/3 flying spirit, like it already seems good to me. So I don't know. The blue white flyer deck is insane. We have another 2-drop flying token or spirit. One and generic for Selfless Spirit, flying, sacrifice it. Creatures you control are indestructible to end of turn.
Oh, that one's so good.
I mean, these spirit flyers are just crazy. Yeah. Mausoleum Wanderer, one blue for a 1/1 flying spirit. When another spirit enters the battlefield, it gets +1/+1 till end of turn. Sacrifice it, counter target instant or sorcery spell unless its controller plays X, where X equals to the power. So, like, at worst, it hits for one, but if you cast another spirit, it gets, it grows. But if you have, like, the Flying Lord, then it's also growing. If you have, like, Always Watching, it's grown again. Like, there's so many good ways to pump non-token creatures right now that it's just insane. Like, the Blue-White Spirit control deck, flyers could just be crazy. So I'm really interested to see what it turns into. As for things that I really want to build around, there's nothing in particular that stands out to me right this minute that I just say, all right, I have to build this deck. Like, is there anything in particular that makes you want to, in particular, build around right now? Or do you just see a bunch of pieces for other decks?
I just see a bunch of pieces for other decks. Because I
feel that way.
Like, I don't think there's going to be anything strong enough to be a new deck. I think everything is just going to solidify the decks that are already there.
Yeah. Like I said, I feel similarly. Like, this combination of zombies and black has some raw potential to it. Like, there's just so many good zombies in standard right now that you could possibly get away with a good zombie deck. But other than that, like, there really isn't that much that makes me want to, like, build around it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we did get sent a deck list. I don't know if I'm supposed to, like, delve into it that deeply into the show. Or maybe we can, and it's fine. I don't remember. If I can find the person who sent it to me. He didn't email it. He just Facebooked it to me. Let's see if I can find it here. I'll put a link up for you, and we can look at it together. There you go, Travis. And I'll throw it up in the on the screen as well for those of you who are watching on the YouTube or watching the playback video later. Hopefully, I don't know if that's readable or not, but
yeah, it is.
Okay, good. So this is running. This is the older version. I think I got it last week or maybe the week before. So it doesn't have things in it that I would highly recommend now, like the Lilith or Liliana's Elite and stuff like that. But it's got a lot of the kind of things that I think have a lot of really good raw potential right now. You know, Husk, this Colossus. Obviously, the Cutthroat's not a zombie, but it has a lot of good synergies. Relentless Dead is a zombie. Crypt Breaker, you know, is an amazing enabler right now. I don't know if I'd love for Cryptothrite and Rolling Thunder. I feel like there's probably better. I'm going to actually move this over here and stick this over here so I can see everything. I have a feeling there's probably a better spell than Rolling Thunder in this slot. Like maybe the new Dark Salvation.
Right,
might be better this way. You don't have to go into another color to make it work, but
I like how the sideboard is just four Kalidas.
Well, I mean, come on,
what more do you want?
Where else are you gonna put Kalidas right now?
Exactly.
But yeah, I don't know. I like this list. So I definitely think there's some things that I'm not a big fan of. I do like how there's enough zombies at this. How do you say this?
Cemetery recruitment.
Is that how you spell cemetery?
Yep.
My brain doesn't think so. Anyway, I think
we've proven time and time again that your brain is wrong when it comes to words.
Pretty much all. it's pretty much a guarantee. But yeah, I like how there's enough things that you can basically get two for ones because there's enough zombies. I don't even know if you need cards in here like Nissa. Or the Zillaport Cutthroat. I think you can just have more zombies. I think there's enough high quality zombies now.
Oh yeah.
Make this go without it and just be the zombie deck. Whether or not you even need another color. Like, I love the idea of Collected Company hitting two creatures for four mana, but you may not even need it. Like, I don't know. It'll be fun to see, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
So yeah, we did get that deck. Thanks for sending that in, Scott. Appreciate it. Hopefully you wanted it talked about on the show.
If not, too bad.
All right. So I guess we're going to end this week's show with a little bit of Pokemon Go discussion. Okay. So we'll just kind of do the closing like usual. Thank you for watching. You can check out samusgrobo.com for links to the video podcast. If you want to watch it, of course, all the other past episodes are there at samusgrobo.com. links to send us an email if you would like to send us a deck list or a talking point, the number 2trolls@gmail.com. You can check out Twitter. Travis has been pretty active lately, TurtlePower319. Of course, I am SamusGarobo at Twitter.com. And you can check out my Twitch stream that I stream every single day that I'm not working for, like, Magic tournaments or whatever, at Twitter or twitch.tv/SamusGarobo. Okay, so I think it's time for us to have this argument.
Okay.
Yellow, blue, red.
Blue.
I definitely yellow. But the one thing we can definitely agree on is not red.
Yeah, well, they're just... Let's just not even talk about them.
Let's not even talk about them.
Yeah.
So, like, I've seen two different memes basically going around. Either blue are bullies, or yellow are, like, handicapped children. It seems so, to be the memes floating around the internet right now.
So, I posted a new one. Team Instinct. Never rewinded videotapes at Blockbuster.
Half of these people probably don't even know what team or what Blockbuster is.
Yeah, well, that just furthers my point.
They didn't even know.
Well, you know what? Then it can't be wrong because they've never done it.
You're not incorrect. Yep. They never had the opportunity to do it either.
Oh well.
Oh well.
Doesn't wash their hands at the bathroom.
Oh, that's just gross. I don't think so. I think if anything, from the people that I know are on Team Yellow are extra germophobic.
Calls soda pop for whatever reason. Are incredible hipsters.
Oh, how dare you. So, how very dear dare you.
Like, this one is clearly a Mystic, a Team Blue that made this. Because Team Mystic says, a true friend. Always holds the door for everybody. Stands up for the little guy. Is generally funny and well-liked.
You know, most Team Blue people I know, like, they're good guys.
Yeah.
Everybody. So I don't have any problem with any of the colors in particular. But, like, your Team Blue and a couple other people I know are Team Blue, they're vicious. They're vicious beasts.
Yeah.
If you have to be able to take it, like if you do something, or otherwise it'll just tear into you for years. It
seems. Yep. So, and then Team Red, you're gonna love these ones.
Okay, let's hear some Team Red.
Filthy racist.
That's probably true. Donald Trump supporter probably.
Puts ketchup on a nicely done steak. Okay. Doesn't put things they don't want back in the right place on the shelves.
Okay.
Wears a fedora.
What's wrong with a fedora? Like, in general, like, is there a problem with fedoras?
I have no clue.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I obviously, yellow is one of my favorite colors. Also, happens, gold. Can't argue.
Could.
Game Day Champion. Sorry, Friday Night Magic Champion. I haven't managed to win one of these game days yet.
Well, I think he just trumped it.
You just trumped it?
Yeah, but not in the red way.
Oh. Is that from Friday Night Magic?
Nope.
What is that from? Is
it game day? That was from someone giving it to me as a gift.
Oh.
Speaking of Game Day Champion, get out.
I have a Game Day Champion, Matt.
Yeah, but you said you never won one, so nobody believes you anymore.
Well, we didn't have the statues then. But I do have a Game Day Champion, Matt. Oh.
But yeah, like, I think the majority of at least the Black Hills region is Mystic. And I didn't know it at the time that I chose to be Mystic. Otherwise, I'd probably be Instinct myself. But, and that's just for competition's sake. So it turns out that the whole South Dakota School of Mines, like pretty much everybody there, I want to say 75% of the people there, got together and chose to be mystic.
Okay.
So the competition isn't going to be as severe as I, you know, kind of want, but everybody who is on yellow or red is just insanely good right now. Like when it comes to the power that they have for Pokemon. So
let's do this. Like, here's my phone. And what's your biggest dude right now?
Hold on, let me open my app.
Roy me. So my, oh, no one's gonna be able to see this. I currently have a Lapras, Lapras.
Yeah, Lapras, the little
Lapras
Loch Ness turtle monster.
Yeah, which I've lovingly named Nessie.
Right.
She is currently at 877.
Okay. Well, if my phone will actually load the game, I will tell you what mines are. And, you know, it's really kind of irritating because I've seen several different memes where it's like, Ponyta is one of the more uncommon drops.
Which?
Ponyta, the fire horse.
Oh, yeah, I've yet to see that. A friend of mine has one.
They are literally everywhere here.
Well, you must have well, it's probably hot there, and there's probably a lot of gas stations.
Well, I just assume it's because the Black Hills is on fire all the time.
I mean, probably some of that, too.
But no, I have I think my Ponyta, it's either 816, or my Rapidash, sorry. It's either 816 or 916. I can't remember.
That seems good.
Let me just close everything. But no, whenever anyone gets a water-type Pokemon, which is incredibly rare up here, even when you go to the lakes, they just take over the gyms. And it's incredibly difficult for anyone to take it back.
Because there's just a lot of, like you said, fire Pokemon floating around.
Well, it's a lot of fire and rock types up here.
Yeah, see, I don't have any rocks types at all, I don't think.
Let's see.
Like, I have one Liptung that I really wanted to make my, or lip, yeah.
Lickitung? Yeah.
I really wanted to make that, like, my guy. But, like, I hatched that, how do you say it again? Lapras?
Yeah, Lapras.
Lapras? I hatched that out of a 10K egg.
Nice! How big did it come out? Is it 860 or whatever?
No, I was able to level it up several times, but it came out like 500-ish.
Okay. Let's see. My strongest, and I have three Rapidashes that I just put into gyms. I have an 816, a 635, and a 576 that I throw into gyms.
You have one more time?
816.
Okay.
635.
Okay.
And 576.
Yeah, seems good.
So I have three Rapidashes at that high of power. That's how common those things are here.
Wow.
Yeah, I have two.
I don't think I've seen them even.
I have two Rhydons.
I take it back. I have an outline. You can't see.
Yeah, take it away from the phone. No,
I have the outline of one.
So can you see mine?
Yeah, I can see yours a little bit.
Yeah. Well, turn down the light on yours then.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll just pretend. It's an audio podcast.
But yeah, like, so, you know, I have two Rhydons at 700 power.
Man, that's crazy.
I am level 14.
Yeah, see, I'm about halfway into 10.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like I was saying, we're really kind of fortunate with this because every single presidential statue is a Pokestop.
Right.
And we literally have 40 presidential statues downtown. So
I thought we were pretty good. The wife and I went out for lunch yesterday, and one of the places that where we actually stopped to eat, someplace we almost never go to. But they were having an all-you-can-eat buffet. And
that's helping with your diet.
Well, I mean, it was all like bacon, so it's fine. And fruit. So, because my diet is I can eat as much as I want as long as it's the right things. So, anyway, my problem isn't that. My problem is like the wrong things, eating the wrong things. But there was like four Pokestops around it. And like, I think where we were, we just happened to be sitting, like we could only get two of them, sometimes three of them. Mm-hmm. But like people were starting to figure out that it's a big draw to the businesses. If you can keep a stop, you know, the upgrade running and things like that. Like, so we have a Cozy Inn here in town. Those of you who don't know what Cozy Inn is, just Google Cozy Inn. It's like this, it's one of the
burgers.
Yeah, it's one of the top things. Like if you look for like food places to stop on a road trip or something, it'll come up in like in the top 30 every time. Like if you like sliders, this place invented the slider. If their history is true. But so there's a Pokestop at it and directly next to it. So like they overlap even. And they're keeping both of those running like during their busy times and with the upgrades. So you could just go sit there, like you sit outside under umbrellas and just rock these two Pokestops like mad. It's really great. So like a lot of businesses are getting a lot of big booms.
There's
that way.
Be a problem that's coming out of your room again.
Almost. All right. Well, the wife has just walked in with unfortunate news. So I guess we're going to wrap up the show. I don't know. It also sounds like Travis is starting to get some interaction going on back there. So,
yep.
I don't know, Travis, do you have any final words of wisdom for us this week?
Nope.
You don't have any Pokemon tips that you want to hand out or anything? Because, you know, we're a Magic podcast.
Yeah. Well, I think with the Pokemon thing, it's just, everyone's going to learn everything at, you know, different times, obviously. But I found out that if you're at the Pokestops and you have, like, a cluster that you can, you know, continuously, you know, people put down lures for.
Right.
Hatch lucky eggs or, right. You know, use the lucky eggs because that doubles your experience. And every time you even just spinning the Pokestops, it gives you that's 50 like experience.
Right.
Yeah, so it'll jump up to 100. And then if you're just trying to farm experience, catch Pidgey.
Right.
Because when the Pidgeys and just hoard them. And then when you do the lucky egg thing, like this is probably like one of the things that you do, you know, before you go to bed and you're not planning on catching anything. But just catch all of the Pidgey that you can and then turn them into food and then turn them into Pidgeotos and then turn those back into candy because I think it costs 12 candies to evolve a Pidgey.
Okay.
And then every time you evolve one, you get like 100 something experience. So obviously it'll jump it up to like 200 something experience.
Okay.
And Pidgeys are just running rampant here. I don't know about there.
Yeah, there's quite a few Pidgeys. So the tip, I'm not 100% sure is true or not, but from what I've read, it is. If you throw the Pokeball and you miss, you can click on it again and pick it back up. Is that true?
There's like a, you have to click on it incredibly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And even then it's about a 50% chance that you get the ball back.
Okay. Well, yeah. I might try it. Like, cause a lot of times, like there's certain Pokemons that I have trouble with instead of others, like the flying Pokemons in particular, Zoom like, even though a lot of my guys are the Pidgey upgrades or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've yet to catch any of the Zubat guys, I think, or their evolutions. Like they just are incredibly difficult for me to hit.
Yep.
So I mean, the option of getting back some Pokeballs after I throw it and bounces off their little heads or whatever seems good. All right, everybody. Well, I think we're gonna call that a show, Travis.
Troll on.
Troll on, everybody.